Welcome to the Speaker's Practice at our Friday Forum. Hi, I'm Adrienne McLean, the founder of the Speaker's Practice. The Friday Forum is for business people. This is a free 30-minute session where you will meet amazing business people who have experience in a wide variety of topics. You will hear fabulous approaches from experts in their field. Today, it's our pleasure to have Phil Lee. Phil Lee is the founder of Sandler Training in Australia. Phil and his team are committed to assisting business leaders, sales teams, salespeople achieve their personal and professional goals and beyond. The Speaker's Practice offers practical and educational programs to develop presentation skills in the workplace. We offer a presentation skills training program called the Speaker's Training Camp. We have a presentation and video program that trains professional people to present in front of a camera. We have the Business Speakers Forum, where business people who want to practice and rehearse presentations for their wider audience can come along, practice, get videoed, and prepare for their bigger audience. And then we have a special occasions program and an interview program. Today we're talking about the art of converting leads into sales. We're lucky to have Phil Lee with us today. Phil has been described by many of his clients as a master sales trainer, professional and personal development coach, and a professional speaker. He works with selected business leaders, owners, and salespeople in technology and other industries. Sandler's is a non-traditional selling system plus an innovative reinforcement training has made Sandler's the global leader in sales training. Hi, Phil.
Hey, Adrienne, how are you?
Good, thank you. Thanks for joining us.
That's absolutely my pleasure.
So today we're talking about the art of converting leads into sales. If business owners are diligent with their marketing, then this will bring an awareness to the marketplace of their products or services. Today we're talking about what happens next, how to convert those leads into sales. So our first question for you, Phil, today is, so we're generating these leads, but what do we do next?
Well, that is a very good question, and it's a question I'm often asked. I might do as an introduction to answering this question is just to differentiate between marketing and sales. So often people get them a little bit confused and think that they're the same thing, and they're in fact not. A very simple meaning of marketing is marketing are the activities that that get people to our door. So they're the things that create awareness and they're perhaps the things that make them contact us. Sales is what happens when we actually have a conversation with someone who's a potential client or customer. Mm-hmm. So, you know, generating the leads is usually the marketing bit. Although if you're doing active prospecting, and there are a number of things you can do, like picking up the phone or go to network functioning, that would fall under the sales. But sales is really the bit that happens when we're face to face with someone. So that's a little bit of an introduction. Mm-hmm. So what do we do next? Well, our aim as sales, when we do the sales bit, that is when we're in front of someone who's a potential client or customer. Our real aim is to qualify them, Adrienne, to see whether or not they are, you know, suitable. They're the right sort of people for us to work with, and they want to work with us. So that means asking a whole bunch of questions to help both parties determine whether or not it makes sense to engage professionally. Now, I don't know who's online here, you know, what sort of business or service they might be in and what sort of sales experience they may have. But the thing is, one of the big mistakes that a lot of salespeople make is they assume that because they're in front of somebody, then they're qualified to be a customer or a client.
Right. So
that's a big mistake.
Right. So you're saying that not everybody is going to be an appropriate client.
Well, we know that not everyone's going to be an appropriate client, and we know that not everybody's going to want to engage us for a number of different reasons. And it's not just, you know, it's not because we're not good at what we do necessarily. So, you know, fundamentally, bottom line is the most precious commodity any of us have in business or in sales or in life. I'll ask you the question, Adrian, if that's all right. What is the most precious commodity we have, all of us? Not a trick.
Our family.
Outside our family, what is the most precious commodity we all have? We all have the same amount of it. It's very limited. We have time. Okay. So we are very limited in time. So we need to be, you know, good at the marketing bit to generate leads, but then we need to be very effective at going through those leads so that we don't spend too much time with people who aren't going to be clients or prospects or who aren't going to be good ones. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, you know, I've done this for a long, long time. And just about everybody I work with, if I said, you know, how many, you know, conversations do you need to have with a potential prospect or client to find one who wants to work with you, who you think is a good fit for you, and it's probably maybe one or two in 10. So once you've got all these leads, you need to be good at qualifying and helping people make decisions, or both parties, that is you and the other party, to make, you know, to have a conversation or a series of conversations, to be able to be in a position to make a decision to decide that it makes sense to work together and to engage professionally, or that it doesn't.
And so what sort of questions do you ask to work out this?
Okay, well, that's a really good question and it's a fairly complex one. But fundamentally, when we're looking to qualify people, and you know, if you've been in sales and done some sales training, you should be familiar with the word qualifying. Most salespeople are, yet they don't really do it because it is not that easy. And it's not all that intuitive. In fact, for most salespeople, it's not intuitive at all. But so what you fundamentally have to determine and help the prospect determine is whether or not there is, you know, what their issues are, of course. So you've got to be like a doctor and, you know, and diagnose and the issues. You know, why it might make sense to work together, why it might make sense to engage, why it might make sense to buy from you. And you've got to figure out, you've got to understand why. Well, what are they looking to achieve? What are their problems? I often use the analogy of a doctor and relate it to sales because that's really what we are. We're a doctor. We fix the problems that people have in our area. I don't fix the same problems as you, Adrian, but you fix people's problems and I fix people's problems. So we need to firstly ask the right questions like a doctor does to try to understand their problem. Like, what is their problem? Like, why might it make sense for you to buy what I have or for us to professionally engage? So you have to understand and so that, you know, you have to be skilled at asking those sorts of questions and understanding what the problems, how the problems, you know, particularly are manifesting in their life and how serious they might be. So that's the first thing you need to do is understand, you know, what problems or in the professional sales training world we call a pain. So, you know, what's the potential pain? Why would you buy something? Because people only buy things generally for one of two reasons, to either take pain away or to, you know, to receive something, to get something, pleasure, gain. So we need to understand what their problems are. We then need to understand and ask the questions around, you know, what is their potential commitment to fixing the problem, to finding a solution, whether it be a product or a service. Mm-hmm. What they'd be willing and able to invest if they felt that there was a, you know, a real solution available, what they would be willing and able to invest. And we need to understand, you know, how they may go about making their decision or their decision process. So the answer to the question, we're generating leads, but what we do next, the professional salesperson qualifies the leads. Wow. Now, that means that a number of those leads will be qualified out. That will decide that it doesn't make sense, you know, for you to buy what we've got or to buy anything. Mm-hmm. Or to engage. And you've got to understand that probably the biggest competition you have is not your competition, it's inertia. That is, people not doing anything.
Right. Well, that moves us on to the next question, is if we pick up the phone and they're not expecting a call, what's the best approach?
Okay, well, the worst approach is what most of your audience is doing now. I'm guessing, you know, I've worked with lots of salespeople and I've worked with them for many years. So most of your audience, if your audience, if they're in business, they're either not picking up the phone, which is the worst approach, or they're picking up the phone and they're doing the second worst thing, which is the hi, Adrian, my name's Phil Lee. I'm from Sandler Training. How are you today?
Right.
That is the second worst approach. So, yes, people aren't expecting your call. They're very busy, you know, depending on their position and what they do. They're often getting a lot of calls. So you need to have an approach that is that basically interrupts that traditional pattern. So if you are going to pick up the phone, and I suggest you do, because the worst thing you can do is not pick up the phone and make prospecting calls, because even if you're really terrible at it, you will find somebody eventually. Mm-hmm. The second worst thing you can do is pick up the phone and use the traditional approach, because that's going to kill, you know, a good percentage of your conversations right at the very beginning. Mm-hmm. You know, the call is usually over at "How are you?" If you know what I mean. They know that you don't care how they are.
Yes.
And all that says is, this is a sales call. Are you ready? Yeah. So all that says. You know, I'm Phil Lee. Hi, Adrian. I'm Phil Lee. I'm from Sandler Training. How are you today? If you don't know me and we don't have an established relationship, all you say to yourself is, uh-oh, here comes another annoying, pesky sales call. I need to get rid of it.
Yes.
So you need to have an approach that doesn't automatically trigger that response. Now, we don't have enough time, and that's one of the things that I work with people around, many things, is helping them have an approach where you don't trigger that automatic response, and immediately you position yourself as a professional and you engage in conversations. But we can't go into that now because we don't have enough time. But that's what you want to be striving for. You want to find an approach or develop an approach or find someone who can teach you one where you actually engage in conversations with people and they want to talk to you. And the things that people want to talk to you about are their potential problems.
Mm.
But my last word on this one is, you know, my name's Phil Lee, Adrian. I'm from Sandler Training. How are you today? I'm dead 9.5 out of 10 times at that point. So that's what not to do. So to simple answer, get an approach that's different from everybody else's. That one doesn't work anymore. It's a trigger. Find an approach that doesn't trigger that response, that here comes a pesky sales call. If you can't figure one out and it's costing you money, then go and find somebody who can help you develop one and learn one.
The sales training.
Well, sales training or coaching, yeah. I mean, I'm a huge believer, you know, I'm a sales trainer and coach, and I get coaching myself and I coach people, of course. But I'm a huge believer in coaching. If you're not getting the results that you want, you know, as you and I have discussed in the past, Adrian, I think it was Albert Einstein that said, the definition of insanity is continuing to do the same thing and expecting to get a different result.
Yes.
So, you know, if you're prospecting on the phone and if you've stopped because it wasn't working, well, that's costing you money.
Yes.
If you're doing it and it's not working effectively, that's costing you money. If you're expecting to get a different result, you won't unless you change.
This follows on. So what are the best ways of approaching potential clients without being too pushy?
Okay, well, that's a really good question as well. The best ways of approaching clients without being too pushy. So once again, I could spend hours talking about this, but we're unfortunate we don't have that. But that's the problem. Most salespeople are too pushy. You know, and I spoke earlier about, you know, you've got to be okay with a no and you've got to expect no's, and there would be people listening to this would be absolutely horrified. What do you mean? What do you mean? I'm trying to make a sale every time I speak to somebody. And I would say to you, that's the problem. If you see, you need to change your paradigm around selling, and that's why, you know, I often use the doctor analogy. You know, if you walked into a doctor's office, Adrian, sort of limping, and you sat down and he said, you know, what's wrong? You said, oh, you know, I've got a sore back. And he said, great. We've got introduced a new keyhole surgery procedure. It's fantastic for backs. It's the best around. It's the latest state-of-the-art technology. Let me tell you what, let's book you in on your way out. See the receptionist, we'll book you in for this keyhole surgery. I think actually we might have had a cancellation, so we might even be able to do it for you this week. How would you feel?
Well, I suppose how would I feel? Well, I wouldn't be wanting to rush into keyhole surgery too fast.
Okay, and there is that, and that's what's happening in for many people when they're selling. They assume that whatever they have, anybody they're talking to should be buying it because it's good. And so they come across as being too pushy. And in that analogy with the doctor, I think most of us, if not all of us, would politely excuse ourselves. And I don't think we'd even bother to pay the bill. And if the receptionist shoved a Medicare card or a Medicare form under our nose, I think we wouldn't even bother to sign it. We'd walk straight out. So the best ways of approaching potential clients are the complete opposite of what, you know, of that is to, you know, so that the key things are that you need to appreciate that not everybody's qualified to buy your product and service, even if they show an interest. And interest is the lowest level of buying motivation. Interest is the lowest level of buying motivation. So you need, you know, people should put on their doctor's hat. And you know, what do doctors do? Doctors are trained to ask questions. Doctors are trained to not assume when you walk in with a limp that they know what your problem is, even though the last three people may have walked in with the same limp. They are trained not to assume just by looking at you or, you know, from a brief observation that they know what your issue is. They are trained to run through a procedure, to ask questions, to identify, you know, what their key issues might be, how severe they might be, and what are the potential courses of action. And in some cases, it may be do nothing, go home, take a couple of Panadol, it should go away. Yeah, I know it sounds very complicated, doesn't it? Because you're wanting me to give you these golden nuggets, these magic bullet or magic pills that are going to change the world. Here, just say this, and you know, and your life will be different, and sales will be flooding through your door. I'd love to be able to do it, but unfortunately, it's not like that. So, you know, stop being pushy. Stop realizing that whatever you have is not for everybody. Not everybody needs or wants it. Whatever you've got may not be a particular fit for everybody else. If people show an interest in what you have, you better ask some questions. Say, hey, listen, you know, I'm not sure that I can help you, or, you know, this is what we do. I'm not sure I can help you. You know, is it okay if I ask some questions, maybe find out a little bit more and see if it makes sense for us to talk further? So I'm talking about a far more trust-based consultative approach where you don't have dollar signs in your eyes every time somebody shows some interest, where you're actually focusing more on them and their requirements and whether or not they need you and whether or not you can actually help them. And that's what a trusted advisor does. It's a word that's bandied around very loosely, but that's what a trusted advisor does. Tries to understand the issues and the problems before they try to fix them. Does that make sense, Adrian?
It does, and it sort of shows how important the qualification process is.
It's extremely important, you know, and you think about this, when you go to the doctor, what is he doing? Isn't he qualifying you?
Yes.
He's qualifying, you know, what's the problem? Do you really have a problem?
Yes.
Can I help, you know, if you don't? Yes. He'll tell you don't, or he or she. If you do, he's thinking, can I help this person? Depending on the problem or the issue, he may suggest further tests. Or, you know, if it's out of his realm and it sounds like, hey, you know what, it could be important, then he's going to recommend you go and see someone else, a specialist.
Yes.
You know, even though it costs him revenue, that's the way that they work. And that's why we generally trust most doctors, because we understand that they have our best interest at heart. So it's important to understand your best interest at heart. So if I wanted to sum up an answer to your question, what are the best ways of approaching clients without being too pushy? I'll answer it this way. Rule number one in selling, contrary to what many people think, is professional selling is about getting information rather than giving information.
Okay, yes.
It's about getting information rather than giving information. And as Stephen Covey says in his Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, although he didn't make it up, it's been around for a long time. It's one of the Greek philosophers, I think, coined the phrase, seek first to understand before you seek to be understood.
Right, yes.
The moment you seek to be understood before you seek to understand, you're going to come across as pushy. So I'll say that again. The moment you seek to be understood before you seek to understand, you're going to, in a selling situation and probably in other situations as well, but particularly in a selling situation, you are going to come across as pushy. So don't assume that people need you. Don't assume that what you have is right for them. Be like a doctor. Don't assume that the limp is the same that the three people that came in before is for the same reason. Sit down. Have a little bit of bonding and rapport, and then ask a few questions. Now, we allow the doctor to ask questions. The doctor doesn't have to get permission because that's why we go there. But sometimes it helps in a selling situation if you ask for permission, which might sound something like, Adrian, appreciate the interest in what you have. Obviously I can't say whether or not we're a fit at this point in time. Adrian, would it be okay if I asked a few questions to get a better understanding of your requirements or issues? And then, you know, we can sort of talk further, and I would be at least be in a better position to determine whether or not I might be able to assist you. Would that be okay?
Yes.
was that pushy, Adrian?
No, it wasn't pushy at all.
Okay, so that's the sort of thing I'd get people to strive for. And I will say again, look, you know, this stuff, look, you know, we're disseminating good information here, but if people really want to get this stuff, you know, seriously, and if it's getting in the way of them building their business and it's costing them money and they're frustrated about it and they're not happy about it and it's affecting not only their business but their personal life, then my real advice would be try to find somebody to help you with it. Find somebody to help you with it. If it's not costing you money and you don't really care, well, then that's fine. Just, you know, I'm not a big believer in if people are doing something and they're okay with it or they're happy with it or it's working, I say don't change it. Yeah. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. If you're happy with it, don't change it. You know, if you find that, you know, you're getting frustrated with you know, you can't get past first base with clients, you can't get your phone calls, people won't take them, or they'll say, you know, can't get past the gatekeeper, and the gatekeeper says, look, I'll take a message and have him call you back, and he doesn't call you back, or, you know, people tell you, look, they're busy and they can't talk to you right now, but can, you know, send some information. They're all fob offs. They're all triggered responses to, you know, this is, you know, you sound too much like a salesperson. I really don't want to be irritated. So if that's happening to you and it's costing you money and it's bothering you, then my suggestion would be find somebody, if you're serious, who might be able to help you. Because, you know, whatever the fee might be, depending on what sort of business or service you're in, it could be insignificant compared to the amount of lost revenue from, you know, just being cut off at the knees, as it were, by using the traditional pushy sales approach.
Well, that moves us into our next question about what are the best approaches to converting leads into sales?
Yeah, well, you know, naturally it varies, and the sort of stuff I'm talking about is really mostly around business-to-business type sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not really relevant to, you know, let's say retail. You know, retail sales is very different. It's a sort of a hit and miss thing. But I'm talking business to business sales where the salesperson actually makes a big difference. And you know, in my world, the salesperson is the difference. The salesperson is the difference. You see, in this day and age, so many competing products and services are so similar.
Yes.
They're so similar.
Competitions.
Sorry?
The competition is fierce.
The competition is fierce, and the product and service is similar. You know, it only takes somebody to come up with a new innovation and somebody's copied it, you know, within a month. It's that sort of world. And the thing that makes the, and so prospects, they can't differ, but their biggest problem is if they really need something, is how do I differentiate between different suppliers, different vendors, different options? How do I differentiate between Phil Lee and Adrian and da da da? They all come in, they all do the same thing, they all sound the same, they all talk about their product and service, they talk about the features and benefits of their product or service, and it all sounds so similar.
Yes.
I can't differentiate. So what people do, and if you think about your own buying behavior, when we can't differentiate, what we do is we go on, you know, we get three or four different people, we get three or four different proposals or quotes. We get their prices, and then we go back to the one that we sort of feel a little bit, you know, we have a better rapport with, or we tend to trust a bit more.
Mm.
And we go back to them, and then we beat them up on the price. And we say, look, I'd love to do business with you, Adrian. Unfortunately, I've got a problem. I've had some prices that are way lower than yours. And most salespeople don't know how to deal with that. So they go, oh, well, what have you been quoted? Well, I've been quoted, you know, 30% less than you. Oh, well, you know, that's because we do this and the other. Well, they do that too, Adrian. And then before you know it, what do most salespeople do, Adrian, to get the business?
They lower the sale.
They lower their price to match the other person, and then they get the business, because the worst thing they in their mind, I don't want to lose the business. I don't want to lose the business to a competitor. Well, firstly, I would say you can't lose something that you don't have. But, you know, the mindset is I don't want to lose the business to a competitor. So they cut the price, they don't make much money, and they end up regretting it. So, you know, the biggest differentiator is the salesperson, and it's the salesperson who helps the prospect by asking the right questions make an effective decision. And to do that, you need to be able to assist the prospect to understand and share their real issues, because a lot of the time they don't even know what their real issues are. They think they do, but they don't. They don't really know what their real issues are. We need to be able to help them get clarity around that. We need to help them quantify the potential cost of the issues. That is, you know, if they've got problems, the cost of actually not doing something, or the cost of continuing to do it the same way. Like, what's that costing you? For example, if you're making phone call after phone call after phone call after phone call, and you're not making your reasonable percentage of really good sales, then you've got a problem. Like, what's the cost of that? Like, let's say you've got someone else in the office that's doing the same thing, and they're making they're making a lot more money than you and doing a lot better deals than you. What are they doing that you're not doing? What's it costing you? So that's what the sort of thing that we need to be helping them understand. Because if you don't know what your problem's costing you, how do you know what you should invest to fix it?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It certainly does.
So we need to be, helping them in a very non-threatening, non-pushy way, because we're not doing this to make a sale. We're doing this to diagnose. We're doing this like the doctor, to fully understand what's going on, like what are the problems? And we need to be able to ask good questions to help them get to the real cause of the problem, which is often not what they think it is. We need to help them quantify it. We need to help them get clear on how it's affecting them. Is it really serious? Is it something that they can put up with? Is it something they need to do something about, or can they put up with it? Because if they can put up with it, they don't need you. Like, you know, if the doctor believes it's going to go away in a week, you don't need him. So all these questions, and while you're asking all these questions, the prospect is, what are they thinking about you, Adrian?
Well, they're thinking that the salesperson's taking interest because they're asking the question.
They're thinking this salesperson is interested. What else are they thinking? See, a good question is a question that no one else has asked you. A good question makes you think. And the questions that most of your audience are actually asking are not questions that are making people think. They're the same questions they've been asked by other people. When you ask questions that make people think that other people haven't asked you, what do they think about you?
That I'm interested in them.
What else? When you ask a question, a professional question that makes somebody think about their own life, their own situation, they haven't been asked that question before, and it takes them to a place they've never been before and gives them some insight into their world that they have never had before, how do they view you?
Well, they see that you're interested in their world.
Well, not only that, they view you as someone who knows what they're talking about, and they view you as a professional.
Okay.
Now, perhaps you've never been asked questions that take you to another place. But when someone asks you a question about your problems, your situation, and it stops and you have to think about it, and it gives the answer that you come up with gives you an insight that you haven't had before, you are positioned like an expert. That's what psychologists, psychiatrists, lawyers, you know, highly professional lawyers, that's what those people do. That's how they make the big bucks. And, you know, I train salespeople to do that, be able to do that, ask questions that take the prospect to a different place that they've never been before, that makes them think, that they get an insight. And when you get them the insight, you position yourself as the go-to in your industry.
Yes.
Okay?
Yeah.
You position yourself as the go-to in your industry. And, Adrian, if you've got a serious problem that you want fixed, would you pay more to have the go-to professional in your industry fix it, or do you want to go to the person who's going to discount their service just to get the business?
No, I'd pay more for a professional service.
You pay if you've got a real problem, you want the best person to fix it, don't you?
Yes, absolutely.
Particularly if you know what that problem's costing you and their fee is in comparison is insignificant to the cost of the problem. So that's my suggestion. But, you know, so converting leads to sales, don't be pushy. Be the opposite of the traditional salesperson. Be more like the doctor. Learn to ask good questions. Help prospects make good decisions. You have a right to select who you want to work with as well. So, and that's really what the process is all about at the highest level. If it's costing you money, if you're really frustrated, that's not really happening in your world at the moment. It's getting in the way of your, you know, your business success and you enjoying your life and achieving your personal and professional goals. Then my strong suggestion is if it's really serious, it's really frustrating you and you're prepared to do something about it, then find somebody who can help you.
Yeah. That's fantastic advice. Thank you, Phil.
My pleasure, Adrian.
Our next question is, and I ask all our guests this, is as a trainer and a mentor and a keynote speaker, what's your advice about promoting your business by speaking?
Okay. Speaking is a great way to promote your business. It puts you in front of a potentially good number of people, you know, rather than a one-on-one, you can have, you know, from few to many people. And it's a great prospecting mechanism. And I have over the years, I've attracted a lot of business through speaking. The key is to, obviously have a good message and be a fairly good presenter. You don't have to be a great presenter. Yeah, you know, doesn't have to be a great presenter, but you need to have a presentation or a talk, if you like, where at the end of it or during it, the right people will want to talk to you because you've positioned yourself as the expert. You've discussed problems that they have. Some of them may have. And you've put forward some, you know, solution without telling them how to fix the problem. You've put forward some form of solution. Yeah, I guess, you know, I've done that a little bit today.
Yeah.
So, you know, the right people who have those problems, and you've got to get the right people in the audience, But the people who have those problems, if you've sufficiently targeted them, brought them out, discussed them, discuss why they have them and some solutions to fixing them, then people will want to talk to you, because most significant problems are not fixed, you know, by a magic wand, or they're not fixed in a day. So the stuff we've talked about today, it's gold, but people aren't going to go out and do it because it's too hard. So, you know, you position yourself as the expert, and the right people will want to talk to you, and some of those people will become good clients. I've had clients that have been with me for years that I, you know, have approached me after a speaking engagement, and we've had a formal discussion and decided to do business together. Okay. So yes, highly recommend speaking as a way of promoting and selling your services.
Okay, well, that sounds fantastic. Thank you. And then this comes on to a promotion for you, Phil, about Sandler training and what you're offering with the game-changing tips.
Yeah, so like for a simple thing, you know, every couple of weeks we send out some, you know, simple game-changing sales tips, which, you know, the feedback is, yeah, it's great, Phil, love receiving them, very short, gets people thinking, and you know, you only have to sort of do something and it might make a difference. So if people would want to go on our email list, we don't bombard them with stuff. If they want to unsubscribe at any time, it's very easy to do. Just click on unsubscribe. All they have to do is email me, say, Phil, please put me on your mailing list, and their details, of course, and email me at plee@sandler.com. It's on the screen, plee@sandler.com, and we can put them on that. And, you know, we send out some genuine non-traditional sales tips, along the lines of the sort of thing that we've been talking about. The other thing, of course, if anyone is in business, and you know they've been listening this morning, and they do feel they have a significant you know issue, and they're not happy with their sales results, and they'd like to have a chat, then they can also email me. Now let me qualify that. I would suggest that. To have a chat with me, they need to either be a business owner, mm-hmm. or someone who's leading a sales team, or someone who's in sales, but they would have to be earning over $120,000 and potentially be wanting to earn significantly more. If somebody's in that position, they either own a company, and you know, and from what we've spoken about today, they're thinking, geez, you know, I think I could be. Oh, well, it's not just today, but they've been thinking this for a while. I think I've got a sales problem. I've got a sales problem, and I'm not happy with it. So if they're an owner of a business or leading a sales team, or a salesperson already earning a reasonable amount of money, but want to, you know, go way to the next level and beyond, and they're serious, then I would invite, you know, we might be able to set up a chat, see if it makes sense to, maybe a 15-minute chat to see if it makes sense to talk further. Mm-hmm. So I'd be open to that. And they could also, people could email me at plee@sandler.com.
Yeah, oh, that'd be great. Thanks so much, Phil.
That's my pleasure. I hope people have taken some stuff away, and I've been able to be of some small service to you and to them.
Yes. Well, it's been amazing. I think you've described the area exceptionally well, and you need to put into practice what you've recommended there. It's really valuable information. So thanks.
Yeah, and it's not easy enough to do. But thank you indeed, Adrian. I really appreciate it. I enjoyed spending the time with you and your audience.
Okay, thanks. Okay, well, thank you for attending, and have a great fortnight. We look forward to having you join our Friday forum. The next one's on the 11th of July. See you then. Bye.